Welcome back to The Rock Show on GTFM, BCFM, and as the man said, Rock Radio UK. It is Andy Fox with you. And that was Yankee Rose from David Lee Roth, of course, featuring one of the most famous guitar intros of the 80s, done by Steve Vai. After being told by his friend Joe Satriani, teenager Steve Vai joined Frank Zappa's backing band, playing on his early 80s output, and released a solo album, Flexible, in 1984. He replaced Yngwie Malmsteen in Alcatraz before joining David Lee Roth's band for the Eat 'Em and Smile and Skyscraper albums in 1986 and 88, and even found time to famously play the guitar-grinding devil in the blockbuster movie Crossroads. After a quick guest stint with John Lydon's Public Image Limited, he joined David Coverdale and Whitesnake for the 1989 album Slip of the Tongue, and then recorded a solo album called Passion and Warfare, a remarkable and innovative record which sold over 2 million copies and won Vai a number of guitar awards and gave him a British top 10. He's gone on to release a further 6 solo albums, but played on over 100 releases with the likes of Alice Cooper, Ozzy Osbourne, Motörhead, Devin Townsend, Meatloaf, and many more. Currently on tour to celebrate the 25th anniversary and reissue of Passion and Warfare, I met up with him on stage, believe it or not, at the O2 Academy, to talk initially about the success of the album Passion and Warfare.
Well, you know, I was very fortunate because I had a momentum of
things going on,
promotion going on.
Yeah,
there was the mystique of being a Zappa artist, you know, Zappa musician.
Yeah,
there was the Attitude song in the magazines. There was Crossroads, the movie.
Whitesnake.
Yeah, and then there was Dave Roth and Whitesnake.
Yeah.
So, and Whitesnake was very big in Europe, so that might have had something to do with. But it charted very well in America too. It was number 18 when it entered the charts.
Yeah.
It was gold. It was all kind of a shock to me, because when I made the record, I kind of thought, okay, well, this is the end of my career, because it really wasn't very accessible or commercial compared to what was popular at the time. But it was music that I always had in my head, you know, and it's interesting because when I went back and remastered it and listened to it and started learning it for this tour, I realized probably like 85% of it was pretty timeless in a sense. Mm. You know, there's a couple of trendy things on there. But really, it was just melodic music that was in my head.
It was born out of dreams, wasn't it?
Out of what?
Dreams.
Well, there were certain dreams that I was having back at that time that inspired certain elements of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, you know, that's okay.
The four sort of what I call crux of the album,
yeah,
are obviously For the Love of God, the,
yeah,
audience is listening,
yeah,
I Would Love To, maybe Blue Powder. There's, yeah, a couple of other great tracks as well.
Yeah.
But those are the four that a lot of people picked up on.
Yeah.
Obviously, the audience is listening because of the MTV video,
yeah,
and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I do want to ask you this question, because I've seen it written down. I want to ask you if it's true. For the Love of God, the story is you fasted for 10 days.
Well, yeah.
Amazing.
Well, I used to do that twice a year.
Oh, God.
Now I only do it once a year, and it's just 5 days.
Oh, okay.
But it was, I went through a period when I was younger, you know, 20, 21, very just in the dregs, you know. Didn't feel good, didn't feel healthy, didn't feel good mentally, physically, emotionally. And I really needed to make some drastic changes in my life. So, you know, when you want to make some drastic changes and you're at the bottom, if you get a hold of the right reading material, it can inspire you. So I found this, there's this metaphysical bookstore in Hollywood called the Bodhi Tree, and they had all sorts of everything from Eastern philosophies to UFOs, witchcraft, religions, everything. So I started reading all the, and it was really an introduction to that other world. And you pick up things that make sense to you. And one of the first books I read was, within that bookstore, I also picked up this book called The Miracle of Fasting.
Oh. All right.
So I started to read a lot of it, and I got very into it. Because I needed something. I had to do something, you know, because I was so unhealthy and just so fucked up in my head, you know. So that was, fasting was one of the things that I tried, and it worked really well for me. And it's not something I just recommend, you know, you've got to do a little research, because I started out one day a week, and then it grew, and then eventually it was two periods a year for 10 days. And it was really helpful and useful. You go through a lot of physical and mental changes, you know. Yeah. So it had just so happened that when I was recording Passion and Warfare, I was on one of these fasts, and when I was doing For the Love of God, I happened to have been on the fourth day of a 10-day fast.
Amazing. Such a brilliant track.
Thank you.
See the whole anniversary package, because there's some extra tracks in there. I assume they're from your collection.
Oh yeah, I
you put it together.
Yeah, no, I'm not the kind of artist that turns a blind eye to what the labels do. The labels don't do anything without working with me on it or coming to me, because I control all my music.
Cool. And the other one, Modern Primitive,
yeah.
That was kind of the one in between Flexible and,
yeah,
and Passion.
Did they send you that?
No.
Ah, that's too bad.
I've not got that yet, but yeah. I'd like to hear it.
Yeah, it's pretty dense.
Okay.
It's pretty cool.
Touring band, is it the same band as in Story of Light?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, these guys, we've been together for many years now. You know, decades.
I love yourself as well. It's great.
Yeah, simple. This is the first time I'm doing screens.
Oh, okay.
And we're doing some interesting things. We got some guest artists that come on the screen that I jam with.
Cool.
I just realized I have a very small space here tonight.
Now, you recently filmed a program called Front and Center in New York to celebrate Les Paul's birthday.
Yeah.
How was that?
It was really great, because I've been invited to play at the Iridium many times, and it's this really cool little club, you know?
Right.
And it holds, like, I don't know, 100 people. And they do this videotaping there for this very popular TV show. And I didn't know if I was going to be able to do it, because I was on the Generation X tour, and then I had to get ready, you know, start preparing and rehearsing for this tour. Mm. But I decided to do it, and it was really great, because I don't usually do those kinds of things.
Cool. Yeah. Excellent. Now, I've got to ask you, we recently spoke to Billy Sheehan, who played this very venue with the Winery Dogs, and he told us about the Eatman Smart Almost Reunion.
Almost Reunion.
Almost Reunion. What was your take on that?
Probably the same as Billy's, you know. Billy and I and Greg and Brett, the keyboard player, we're still very good friends, and we stay in touch, and we usually try to have dinner at least once a year. Mm. And we were recently having dinner not too long ago, and Billy said, you know, it's the 30th anniversary of Eatman Smile. I was like, wow. Mm. And then he told me about this Lucky Strike bowling alley where they have these open nights on Wednesday night, and he said, why don't you come down and we'll just do a couple of songs? And I said, all right, you know, hey, let's ask Dave. Maybe he'd be interested. And surprisingly enough, he was.
God.
And we didn't even announce that he was going to be there.
No.
And they stuffed 1,700 people in a venue that holds 300 people. And the line was out down the street, all the way around the corner. And that was all a surprise in itself. And then Dave arrives, you know. And I was standing on the stage. They have a curtain. And I was just about to hit my guitar and start blasting. And the guy, I mean, I was like this, you know? And the guy goes, somebody comes up to me and goes, Steve, don't play. The fire marshal is here, and they have to evacuate 500 people.
Oh, no.
So I'm like, how are they going to do that? I'm playing. They go, no, don't play. You'll get fined. And I said, fine, I'll play it. I'll pay the fine. You know, we'll pay the fine. And then the... And then they come back and they say, no, if you play, you'll go to prison and they'll close the place down. So I'm like, oh. So it was wild because then after I realized we actually weren't going to play, I went back and told Dave, and in his infinite media wisdom, he goes, perfect. Mm-hmm. Now it'll be a big press item and it'll just build a mystique. And sure enough, that's what it did, because the next day in all the papers and all the online stuff, it was like they had fire trucks out there and they had guys in, like, you know, with axes and stuff coming into the venue. It was crazy. And they shut the place down.
Nice.
They shut it down. And we got a lot of press out of it.
Collaboration now blossomed into Generation X, of course. You've now got Zakk Wylde involved, Nuno Bettencourt, Yngwie, Tosin Abasi from Animals as Leaders.
Mm-hmm.
All very different players, I've got to say,
yeah.
With yourself. They're all very different, aren't they?
Well, they're very different, but they're still carved out of the same ilk.
Oh, okay.
You know, I mean, it was relatively easy to pick or to desire those particular guys for this tour, because they are unique and they all have a great voice on the instrument. They've all made incredible contributions and they're all diverse, but within the same kind of ilk. And I have to say, I didn't realize, though, how cool it really was going to be. I mean, it was a spectacular show. Beautifully diverse, balanced, intense, a lot of notes. Really great, because it wasn't just, you know, five guys doing their own set.
Right.
You know, each guy was joined by somebody, and then we played things together, but they were arranged. You know, like we all come out with Foreplay by Boston, but it's you know, it's arranged parts, and it just sounds so much better than five guys up there trading solos. You know, we did that, but when you hear something like Frankenstein or Highway Star, it's
Frankenstein,
really,
the Edgar Winter.
Yeah,
great piece.
It's really, I mean, everything is arranged in it,
cool.
But there's still wild solos and stuff. So it came out so much better than I could have expected, and you know, those guys, they're such powerful personalities. You know, it's when you're in a tour bus, there's no secrets at sea.
No.
And either you're gonna blow up or you're gonna get really close. And we got really close. We're really looking forward to doing more.
Oh, good. Okay. Is it likely to be any in the UK, perhaps?
I hope so.
Oh, okay. Now, finally, because I know you've got to get on, you've had 11 Grammy nominations, three
15,
awards.
Sorry, 15.
Oh, 15 now, is it? Okay. 43 awards in total, many guitar awards. You've played with many of the greats on guitar and in bands, of course.
Yeah.
Acting in films and stuff. You've had a 25-year-plus career. What's next for you?
Well, I'll know when I get there.
Oh, okay.
You know, I used to make all these plans, and I still have a lot of projects I'd like to get to and love to do.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm exhausted just hearing you recite all that stuff. you don't realize you're doing all that when you're doing it. I mean, you, anybody could, like, create a list of things that they've done, and, of course, the the view of it in the eyes of, you know, popularity might be different, but everybody works just as hard. Everybody does. Most people are always working, you know. And I'm just fascinated when I look back at my career at everything that's happened, you know, because I never really expected it, and I just go with the, I roll with the way things roll.
Cool.
And all this great stuff happens, and I hardly even, if I didn't do another project, I'd be very satisfied with everything I've achieved, because I've never even expected to achieve this much. But what I really love doing is just coming up with an exciting idea and then executing it. Like this tour.
Yeah, yeah. Well, congratulations on the anniversary, whatever it is, of Passion and Warfare.
Thank you.
I think it's a terrific album. And I was playing it way back then.
Thanks.
And I'm still proud to be playing it now. Thank you for your time.
Oh, thanks.
And you know, the UK, have got very special memories of you because of your time with Whitesnake and Dave Lee Roth.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's good to see that you keep doing it. So thank you for that.
Yeah, I feel very fortunate. This is the last show of our UK run on this tour. And
it's been good, isn't it?
Really good. Really, really great. I just feel so honored to have such dedicated fans, you know, people interested in what you're doing. It's just so
brilliant.
It's such a privilege.
Now, Stevie, now don't be nervous, honey, okay? I'm going to go in, and I'm going to introduce you, and then you're going to come in with your guitar, and you're going to play that nice, nice music you were telling me about. And while you're doing that, I'll be sitting in the back of the room. We'll have such a good time, so don't you be nervous, honey. It'll relax everybody, and we'll be so happy. I'm going to go now. I'll introduce you, okay? Hands up! Now, you kids, all of you, calm down. That's good. Okay? Everyone in your own seats. That's good. Okay. Now, little Stevie Vai is going to play a composition on the guitar. He wrote it all by himself. Okay, Stevie, bring your three friends.
Hey, folks. This is Steve Vai on The Rock Show with Andy Fox on GTFM, BCFM, and Rock Radio UK. And here's a track from Steve Vai.
Be a famous rock and roll guitar player.
Love it.
That was our interview with Steve Vai, the one and only Steve Vai, with tracks in the interview, For the Love of God, I Would Love To, and of course the audience is listening. That doesn't make sense to you. Check out the video. It's hilarious. My thanks to his management for sorting that out. It took a long time to sort that one out, but we got there in the end, and it was lovely to speak to him again. Second time I've spoken to him. Lovely man. And we actually did it on the stage at the O2 Academy, hence the kind of noise, because all the amps were on and they had fans going. And I didn't think it was going to work, but it sounded fine. So there we go, Steve Vai. Next week we'll be having the gentleman from Steelhouse back in again for their second visit to tell us about what's going on in the run-up to Steelhouse. In the meantime, another track from our featured album from Mr. Neil Young. This is called Working Man.